Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning. This is Dr. Annie B. Wilder coming on, hey, the Dr. Annie B. Wilder Show. And why am I coming? Yes, that's right. I'm coming to say good morning, good morning, good morning. It is another beautiful Monday morning where I am. Yeah, the air seems a little still, but it's still a little cool, which is great. Oh, it's not so humid, but hey, we don't know what the day is going to bring, but hey, as always, we learn to enjoy what we have while we have it. And of course, there are a lot of people like humidity and all the rest. So listen, hey, God is a mighty God, and he's a God that, hey, he has everything, and he has something for everybody. So we just learn to reach in and grab that which we enjoy and that which is pertinent and just be grateful. How many times are you saying that lately? How many times? Well, let me come back and ask you, how are you doing altogether? How are you today? Is your head lifted? Are you waiting to be encouraged this morning? Are you anticipating a word that's going to uplift and encourage your heart? Well, as you know, that's why I'm here. That's the reason I come on Monday mornings, to help you to just add to maybe whatever you received of the weekend and your services, or however. But, hey, just give you an extra boost to get started through the week. I'm here. And I want to thank you once again and over again thank you for coming to be with me on Monday mornings. Well, without delay, yes, somebody still say, but Dr. Wild, I still didn't hear it. I didn't hear it. Well, here it is. I'm excited. I'm excited about what the Lord has done and about the word that he's going to feed us today. I am excited. And what is that word? Hey, it's coming from Matthew 9. Matthew chapter 9, I'm in the New Testament. Yes, I'm there. Matthew chapter 9, verses 18 through 30. I'm going to read a few verses today. Yes. And my topic is, how is your faith working? Yes, I'm coming to get you involved. I need you to be involved in this broadcast today. I need you to question yourself, to take a look at yourself. So I'll repeat it. My topic today is, how is your faith working? All right? And so, as it is already customary, always customary, we're going to pray first. Yes, we're going to go into prayer. All right? The favorite part of some people, of the show for some people, but I pray you stick around even afterwards. All right? All right, here we go. Father, 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 Father in heaven, the Most High God, the everlasting, everlasting God, the Lord of lords and King of kings, the miracle worker. Yes, the miracle worker, the miracle worker. This morning we come with thanksgiving and we come with praise and we come acknowledging you for all that you already have done for us. All great and marvelous things you've done. You delivered us out of situations that we didn't think we could get out of. Oh, God, you made ways when it seemed there was no way. You touched our hearts and encouraged us and lifted us up from places of despair, oh, and feelings of hopelessness. Father, for all those things and more and more and more, we come to just first say thank you. Thank you for this hour. Thank you for this broadcast. Thank you for this day. Thank you, Lord God, that you are God, that you are our God. That, Lord, we've come to know that you're the one and only true and living God, and that we're not running to not another. We're not running to another. But, oh, God, we're staying with our eyes stayed on you, focused to you, on you. And so, Father, as I come in this place that you've allowed me to be today and to greet your people everywhere, far and near, Lord God, I come lifting them up. I come to stand alongside of them, Lord God, in whatever their situations may be today. I come to stand along, oh God, touching and agreeing that you will bring them out. Touching and agreeing, God, that you will show yourself strong and mighty on their behalf. Touching and agreeing, God, for healings in the homes and healings in the bodies. As we continue to pray for healing in our nation, oh, God, come this morning, stand alongside, oh, God, the bereaved ones today, the ones whose hearts are so heavy, God. Oh, God, God. So many, Lord, and so rapidly, hearts are made heavy in this time. And so, Lord, I come standing alongside of that one. And then, God, we come asking that you just, oh, God, once again, show yourself strong and mighty in that one that's looking for a job today, that one that's looking for direction today, that one that's not knowing whether to turn to the left or to the right. Lord God, strengthen that body, strengthen that mind. Make much out of little, God. Touch, God. Make a way where it seemed to be no way. And so, God, we appreciate you for all those things that you have done and you're yet doing for your people. And so, Father, in Jesus' name, we receive the answers. We receive solutions. We receive revelation. We receive insights. We receive, Lord God, the enemy being put down, the enemy's mouth being shut in Jesus' name. And then, Father, as always, I ask that you anoint these lips of clay as I come forth here now to bring forth this word, hopefully to encourage the hearts of the listeners. Give revelation here, Lord God, that you would anoint these lips, God, and in fact, that you would just give your Holy Spirit charge to take over and bring forth this broadcast, that when it's over, Lord, they will know that they know that they know personally that you have visited them on this Monday morning. And I thank you for it right now, and I say amen, amen, and amen. Oh, bless the Lord. All right, here we are once again on Monday morning, and I'm in Matthew 9, verses 18 through 19, and I will commence to read, all right? So it says, and from the New King James Version of the Bible, all right? So it says, while he spoke these things to them, behold, a ruler came and worshipped him, saying, my daughter has just died, but come and lay your hand on her, and she will live. So Jesus arose and followed him, and so did his disciples. And suddenly, and you know, we say, like to repeat that, and suddenly, a woman who had a flow of blood for 12 years came from behind and touched the hem of his garment. For she said to herself, if only I may touch his garment, I shall be made well. But Jesus turned around, and when he saw her, he said, be of good cheer, daughter. Your faith has made you well. And the woman was made well from that. And when Jesus came into the ruler's house and saw the flute players, and the noisy crowd wailing, he said to them, make room, for the girl is not dead, but sleeping. And they ridiculed him. But when the crowd was put outside, he went in and took her by the hand, and the girl arose. And the report of this went out into all that land. Verse 27, when Jesus departed from there, two blind men followed him, crying out and saying, Son of David, have mercy on us. And when he had come into the house, the blind men came to him. And Jesus said to them, do you believe that I am able to do this? And they said to him, yes, Lord. Then he touched their eyes, saying, according to your faith, let it be to you. Let it be to you. And their eyes were opened, and Jesus sternly warned them, see that no one knows it. I have to add verse 31. But when they had departed, they spread the news about him in all the country. Oh, praise God. You see why I have trouble stopping reading when I start reading? and I say it to you all the time as well, hey, it gets exciting, and you just want to keep going. Yes, when we start reading the Word of God, it gets exciting, and we don't want to stop. I mean, it makes good reading. The Word of God makes really good reading. I would say to you over and over again, it'll surpass any of those novels or anything else. Hey, they're good. They have, many of them are. Some of them are, okay? And they offer a lot of comfort, maybe encouragement and entertainment or whatever. But I can tell you none of them will offer as much strength, encouragement, hope, education, or excitement than the Word of God. So I firmly, I often, you know, I said week after week, come on, get into the Word, get into the Word. Pick up your Bible, dust it off. Yes, go in that bedroom and find your child Bible that somebody gave your child when they were just born or early birthday, because it doesn't matter whether it's a baby Bible or grown folks Bible, grown folks, you know, those people that of age, whatever, that it still is life and it still is interesting. And believe me, hey, it will still build you up and strengthen you, okay? So once again, here we are, today's topic. So how did you come about this topic today, Dr. Wilder? Well, listen, I want to say, how is your faith working? First of all, I'm usually excited from our service on Sunday, our service, and yes, I'm still excited about that. But in addition to all of that, and even what brought about our service on a topic on yesterday is, many of you know that I'm a people watcher. I can entertain myself just sitting on a bench, sitting in my car in the park, all right, any place, just watching people, watching the activities of people. Watching them walking their dogs, watching them training someone to ride a bicycle, just watching them walking alone, just watching. I like the way people walk. I like to watch the differences in their strides from one person to the other. I just learn so much and get entertained and encouraged from just watching people. But listen, lately, one of the things that I've been has really gotten my attention and keeps staying with me is in my work and the different people I come in contact with and pray with, so often I hear them dialoguing and I know of their situations and the track that they're on and the dilemmas they're facing, all right? And I hear them say, oh, faith, okay? But then I hear people say, I stayed with my faith. I pressed into my faith, you know? And lately, you know, what the people said, well, I believe, but then I hear other people say, as I just said, I pressed into my faith. So there are people that I hear say, I believe, but what I see them doing is when time gets really hard, when it moves from the thing of just being a conversation to really having to stand alone many times, go through some really negative times and hours, okay, some seemingly impossible diagnosis, the impossible feedback and everything, I hear those saying, I press into my faith. And then I watch long enough and stay close enough that I see a change take place. And I see, hey, whatever that dire situation was, I see it turn around. And I keep hearing that person, the difference in those that just stray away and run to other things versus those that say, I pressed into my faith. I see there's a difference. So what is the difference? Well, we find here, even in this word, what it meant when they say they pressed into their faith. That means they just kept adding faith to faith. In other words, they just kept staying with the Word of God. They kept turned around from what somebody else was saying or even how the situation looked, okay? They just kept holding on to what God's Word had said and what God's Word says. Yes, my God. And the Bible lets us know, hey, that without faith, it's impossible to please God. Yes, without faith. And so, and also, it also gives us a definition of faith, that faith is, it tells us that, hey, it's the evidence of things not seen, okay? If faith, that we don't see it, hey, in the natural eye, all right? But it's evidence there. It's there. Faith is confidence and it's trust. In fact, the definition, the Bible definition, previous experience, I won't say that because that's what builds our faith. Our previous experience with God, for me, helps build my faith and makes it really solid, okay? But the point is, faith is the evidence of things not seen, okay? It's those things, believing for the impossible, but believing that God is able to do it, all right? And the Bible also tells us that it's without faith, it is impossible to please God, impossible to please him. So I know somebody says, slow down, Dr. Wilder, slow down. You've given us so much already. You're right. I told you this subject excites me, all right? So, and it's a way of living. It's a way of living, all right? So, again, it's possible to please God. And when things get bad, things are negative, things that, hey, we don't have another answer for, the doctors don't have an answer for it, then what do we do? There's something, where do I go? The song says, where do I go? When there is, it seems to be no other answer, when do I go? Well, we go to the Lord. We go to the rock of our salvation, all right? So how are you going to go there if you don't believe? How are you going to go there if you don't trust him, all right? Who is that rock of our salvation? Jesus Christ, he's our rock. He's our rock. He's our help. He's our hope. He's our strength. He's our all in all. So, okay, so once again, the Bible says without faith, it's impossible to please God. So why do we want to please God? Because the scripture goes on to say in Proverbs that when our ways please God, he makes even our enemies, I tell you, our enemies. Listen, we got those natural enemies, and guess what? The Bible lets us know death is an enemy. Death is an enemy. Yes. So we have enemies in all sorts and come from all directions, all right? And so, listen, hopefully that just gets you stirred up, all right, and gets you ready for our conversation right now, all right? So our dialogue with our text. In Matthew 9, we find here, well, it started off, it's a big chapter, has a number of terms here, all right? But the point is when we get down to where we are now, Jesus says, while he spoke these things to them, okay, who were these? Who was he speaking to? He was speaking to the disciples of John that had come to him. You know John, the forerunner, John, the one that came to prepare the ways for Jesus, preaching repentance, all right? That indeed that they had come to Jesus, and they had asked him a question, all right, asking him, why did they and the Pharisees fast often? But Jesus' disciples didn't. And so Jesus had gone into a dialogue and explained to them about the difference of being, with the bridegroom, being with him even right then, and versus what's going to happen when he's not around, all right? But even before then, he had done some things there. He had collected some other individuals, okay, as his disciples had gone about. And so while he was collecting disciples, remember, they didn't always have really upright a reputation. In fact, the tax collectors, which Matthew was one, that definitely he did not have an upright reputation. And so the Pharisees, as always, those religious leaders, were questioning and everything. So, you know, he had already gone through a number of things. Why would you eat with them? Why would you eat with the tax collectors and sinners? So, again, and then he comes down into John's disciples questioning him. And so that's why it says while he spoke these things to them, while he was explaining to those disciples, notice that they asked the question, all right? But Jesus didn't just outright rebuke them. He answered them. Hey, they didn't understand. They had the nerve to ask the question. And so he answered. That's the word for somebody already. He's not going to rebuke you, baby. You want to ask him a question, and you're afraid to ask him. You're afraid to tell him how you're really feeling. Well, look, the Bible lets us know he knows, and he wants you to ask him. He wants you to dialogue, even though it seems a hard question or you're embarrassed to even want to say it to God or even blame him. Hey, it's okay. It's all right, all right? He loves you that much that he knows, and he wants you to come on and talk to him about it. You don't have to try to dress up your conversation when you come to the Lord. He said, just come like you are. Come feeling what you feel. Come expressing your heart to him. Give him an opportunity to come into whatever you're feeling and thinking so he can help you get understanding about it. Come on. Who else? Who's going to help you more than the Lord? Come on. Come on. Come on. That thing that's holding you back because you're afraid to say it out loud, say it to the Lord, okay? So he says here, behold, a ruler came and worshiped him, all right? Now worship, you notice how I start off praying, start off thanking him first, acknowledging him for who he is first, before I start asking? Well, hey, here's an example of it. This ruler, this person in position, all right, he said he came and worshiped him, saying, my daughter has just died. In other words, he acknowledged him for who he was first, and now he goes on to make a petition. My daughter has just died, but come and lay your hand on her, and she will live. Hey, that's got to be strong. We're talking about faith. We're talking about faith. Hey. So that's got to be something truly believing to know that, hey, his daughter's passed away, and rather than he himself giving up and just calling the funeral home or whatever, he comes to the Lord and he makes this statement. So Jesus arose, but he says, come lay your hands on her. I just believe. I believe you got power. I believe you're able. I believe you're capable of raising even that which has gone out, that just seems to have no life in it anymore, that you're able to raise it up. And that's the word for somebody. That's the word. Some of your situations, you are ready to throw your hands up, yes, and walk away because you're feeling like there is no life here. There is no hope here, all right? And I would say, hey, maybe God has told you to wrap it up. I don't know. Maybe he has another way for you. But if you have not consulted the Lord and pressed into him, like I said earlier, press into him, then maybe that's what you need to do. Stop looking to the left and stop looking to the right. Stop listening to everybody else and go and close in with the Lord and ask him for direction in this matter, because he's able to raise even that which has been deemed done, deemed dead, done, deemed done and over with. He's able to, all right? So ask him, talk to him, invite him into the situation. Like his words say, if you acknowledge him in all your ways, he'll direct your path. So that means, hey, if you're supposed to shut it down, he'll make it known to you. If you're not supposed to, he'll give you strategies of what to do from here. But either way, before you make another move, make sure you've closed up with the Lord. Closed off. What do I mean by closed off? Dr. Wilder, what are you talking about? I'm saying, hey, maybe your Bible, all right? And just get alone and start talking to the Lord, okay? Just get alone somewhere, all right? It could be in your bathroom. Yes. It could be in your garage. It may be that you need to take a ride out to the park and get in a shady place and just begin to talk to the Lord. Yes, you can do it while you're walking. You can even do it while you're jogging. You can do it while you're on the treadmill. The point is closing yourself off to hear the dialogue with the Lord. Dialogue. That means, hey, you talk to him, and then you listen and let him talk to you. Come on, somebody. You needed that right now. You needed that word right now, and it's for you. And it seems that that's the way this broadcast is going today. God is speaking a specific word to specific individuals. And I pray that you're catching it. You're knowing that he's talking to you when I make the word, when I speak the word, all right? And so it says, he said to Jesus, okay, if you just lay your hands on her, she will live. Followed him and said, and so did his disciples. So now, remember, his disciples. Disciples were those that were following him, following his teaching, okay? All right? And so, hey, he had a crowd. And so there they were following him, okay? And so he said, so he didn't go alone. And I'll tell you the benefit of that. Well, maybe I better do it now so I don't forget. There would be people to testify. There would be people to testify. In other words, to be able to tell what they saw, to tell the story, to tell what they witnessed. Yes, to testify, all right? And so, and suddenly, verse 20 says, and suddenly, I like that, a woman who had a flow of blood for 12 years came from behind and touched the hem of his garment. Now, you've heard this story about this woman, all right? But she said to herself, that's important. She said to herself, she wasn't talking to other people. She wasn't waiting for somebody else to come and give her accolades or say, yes, that's what you should do. No, she had tried so many other things. There's another part in the Bible that lets us know, hey, she had tried so many other things, but she had now at this point, you know, ready, hey, when you tried everything, the song, when you try everything else, try Jesus. So basically, that may be what she was doing. She had tried everything else, and now she was going to try Jesus. But, and so she wasn't going to ask anybody about it. She had it in her mind to come to him. It says when she said to herself, she said to herself, you know, many times I've said that before. We need other people. We need help, all right? But there are times that, excuse me, I needed a drink there. There are times that we have to walk this thing, just you and the Lord, you know, me and the Lord. There are times, because sometimes when we start involving other people, it makes it, we get discouraged. We get all these other voices going on in our heads, and it pulls us away from maybe the blessing or the direction we really should go. So there are times that we do have to shut off and just dialogue with the Lord. So she was dialoguing with herself. It says she said to herself. Now, earlier in the chapter, the Bible lets us know that those religious leaders, you know, they too were saying in their heart, they were doubting Jesus. They were questioning Jesus in their hearts. They weren't saying it out loud. But look, there's a negative and there's a positive going on here. You got those people that were pressing in to the Lord, pressing in to Jesus, pressing in to the way maker, the problem solver, the healer, the deliverer. They were pressing in to get to him. But then there were others that were pressing against him. Oh, yes, all right? And certainly they wouldn't get any good thing from the Lord, right? And so he says, if only I may touch his garment, I shall be made whole. There's that faith again, that confidence that I don't have it yet, but I just believe that I will get it if he just lay his hands on me. And then verse 22 says, but Jesus turned around, cheer, daughter. Your faith has made you well. And the woman was made well from that hour. Now, I have to pause again here to help somebody. You know, I don't know about you, but I'm going to be honest. Here it was, the ruler had come and said, come to my house. Come and lay your hands on my daughter. She's dead. You know, she's died. And I need you to come. I need you to come. All right? And so on his way there, this other woman steps in. She steps in. And then he turns and he dialogues with her and he blesses her and she's healed. Now, natural, let's be honest, how would you be feeling right now? How would you be feeling? Would you be upset with that woman? Wait a minute now. I got his attention first. Wait a minute. He's on his way to my house. Will you come back later, okay? He got to do this thing for me right now. How many of you are going to be honest and say, let me know that that's basically how you would have been feeling? I know. Because at first, when I first read this in another portion of Scripture, I was saying the same thing. I said, wait a minute. I got his attention first. But look, that's our God. That's what we have to get fixed in our mind, that we are serving a great big God. We're serving a God that's not limited, a God that's omnipotent, omnipresent, all-powerful. Yes, omniscient. Yes, he's working for us while he's working for others. In faraway lands, he's still the same God, and he's able to reach in those places as well. So we don't have to get huffy. We don't have to get angry. We don't have to do any of those things that will come in the way of us having the right spirit to get what we need from God. We don't. Yes, pay attention. Notice what it's going to go on and say. Look, he's on his way to the ruler's house, right? The woman steps in, and she dialogues with him, and she gets what she needs. And guess what? It says, and when Jesus came into the ruler's house and saw the flute players and the noisy crowd wailing, all right? First of all, he said to them, make room, for the girl is not dead but sleeping. And they ridiculed him. Now, who were these flute players and these people wailing? Remember, and we found out in history that they would hire people to come and mourn. You have people coming, and they would just do the mourning and call it the way of the mourning women. They were hired to come and mourn, okay, making this noise and all of this around a person that had died. And so here they were. They were on the scene, okay? In fact, they were the ones that were filling the house. In fact, look, their actions were saying, it's done. It's done. She's dead. She's gone, all right? There's no more hope. There's no more nothing else to expect from this life. It's over from her life. She's gone, done. And it said, make room for the girl. It's not dead. Make room. That's again, said it was filled with people with that unbelief. People that had no faith. People that were not expecting. People that were not trusting that, hey, maybe she's just deep sleep, which is what we hope for, really. Many times when you know, we go into denial when a person passed away, we go into denial saying, oh, I pray they just sleep. They're going to wake up. They're going to wake up. They're not gone. Yeah, but anyway, here we are. And so remember, Jesus said, make room, for the girl is not dead but sleeping. And they ridicule him. That's, again, evidence that there was no faith at work there. There was no faith. Jesus came. I always add that, but it was Jesus. Jesus came along, and he's saying that she's not dead, and they're going to make fun of him, okay? They're making fun of him. So which means, in other words, they're saying, you got to be crazy. She's dead. Look at her. She's gone, all right? And which meant, again, no faith, no confidence, all right? No hope. All the hope was gone. But in verse 25, it says, but when the crowd was put outside, sometimes you've got to put the unbelievers out of your life, all right? Put them on the sideline. Don't be conferring with them. If they're always speaking negativity to you about anything in your life, they're the ones that you don't go to when you're in deep trouble. They're not the ones you go to when you're really trying to press your way through a hard situation. Come on. Once again, I'm not saying that you don't stop loving them, you don't start caring for them, but you got to learn which individuals that should be in your life at certain times, all right? Not everybody should be there all the time, okay? Some people are true encouragers. And they're going to encourage you and uplift you. But some people just by their presence bring discouragement and make you feel down. Woo! Okay? And so, and they ridiculed him. But when the crowd was put outside, he went in and took her by the hand. Took her by the hand. And the girl arose. Hey, there's life. Many times that's some, let me tell you, I'm not saying that we can revive people always from being completely lifeless, okay? But we can many times by just sending a hand to that one that's down, feeling low, feeling that life can't go on. They're so depressed, and they feel so void of feeling that anybody cares. Sometimes all you got to do is touch. All you got to do is just reach out and touch their hand. I don't even say you got to say a whole lot, but as we've talked in the past about grief and helping those that are mourning, sometimes you don't need to say anything. You just need to be present, just present. So you reach out and take their hand. When you get ready to pray, reach out and touch their hand, okay? And the anointing from you, that healing touch from you, that touch from your hand imparts life, imparts love. And love, hey, we know about love, right? Love is so strong, and love is powerful that it can raise an individual up from despair. And being without love can cause a person to go and feel like life is over. There's no reason to live anymore. So just by imparting a loving touch sometimes can just impart life to an individual. Did you hear me? Are you hearing me today? You're still standing there and sitting there saying, oh, my friend is hurting. Oh, my friend is dying. My friend's relative just passed away. What do I do? How do I do? How do I encourage them? Well, I said to you, just be present. Speak a kind word. Let them know that you're present. Let them know you're friends. Let them know you're loving them. Let them know. Or if you're nearby, just lay your hand on them. That's all. Just reach out and touch them. Just even sit next to them and just hold their hand. Just hold the hand. And even while you're holding their hand, deep within you, you're praying, okay? And just imagine that life. Just think on it. Life is being imparted to them. Encouragement is being imparted to them. At that very hour, yes, that's your faith working. That's faith. That's believing, okay? So here we go. He says, where am I here? Okay. Verse 27. Am I there? Are you guys, you know, I lifted my eyes from the page, and so I guess I got a little turned around there. Okay. So here we are. Help me here. Help me. So verse 27 said, when Jesus departed from there. Oh, I guess I went too far, right? So I got to go back up a little bit. All right. So it says, make room. Let me go there. And they ridiculed him. But when, verse 25, but when the crowd was put outside, he went in and took her by the hand. And the girl arose. The girl arose. What did her father say? If you just come and put your hand on her, she'll live. That's what the father had said. Just put your hand on her. And Jesus indeed had come and answered the man's request, all right? The father's request. So he had come in and he took her by the hand. And the Bible says, yes, the girl arose. The father had spoken it. The father had spoken in faith and confidence, okay? And then indeed, just as Jesus, he had said, it was done. And the next verse says, and the report of the land. Who could hold such a thing? Who could not talk about it? That's the testimony, okay? Who could not go and tell of this miracle, this mighty work being performed right before their eyes? Those people that have been in there wailing and blowing the flute, that dire, the death dirt, okay, doing all of that, that now they're having to say, hey, we went on an assignment today, but it turned out that we weren't needed there at all. So that person that we were called to, that now that person is out, that person is walking, that person is alive. right? And so then verse 27 says, when Jesus departed from there, two blind men followed him, crying out, saying, Son of David, have mercy on us. In other words, don't leave us behind. Hey, we're over in need as well. And when he had come into the house, the blind men came to him. And Jesus said to them, okay, do you believe that I am able to do this? Do you believe? Believe. Believing in that which appears to be impossible. Believing in that, okay, that just seems to be, can't be real, all right? They're believing in it, all right? And so here we are, okay? He says, they said to him, yes, Lord. Then he touched their eyes, saying, according to your faith, let it be to you. So that's my question for today. How is your faith working? Is your faith working like this ruler regarding his daughter, that if Jesus would just lay his hands on her, she would be healed, she would be raised up? Or is your faith working like this woman with this issue of blood who had tried everything else and now said within herself, had reasoned with herself and within herself, if I can just touch him? The man said, the ruler said, if you come and you touch her. But this woman said, hey, I still got breath in me. I still got the activity in my hands. And so if I can just touch him. Oh, my God. Ooh, isn't this not what I said to you before? Life would be breathed into me. And so here we are with them. All right? With them, Jesus is saying, it's upon your faith that it be done. And so he touched their eyes, but he asked them the question first. Do you believe I can do this? So that's what I'm saying. How is your faith working? Are you believing? Are you believing that though you've got this diagnosis, though the covers are empty, though, hey, you're down, you don't know how you're going to meet all the bills. How is your faith saying give up? Is your faith saying it's over? Is your faith saying it's useless? Is your faith saying, I'm done for? No. Is your faith saying, press in the more? Run to Jesus with this. Spread those deals out before Jesus. Oh, talk to him about what's going on with you. Remind him that you're doing what you were told to do. You know, you're being faithful to him. Your ways, as far as you know, should be pleasing. And anyway, if they're not pleasing to him, ask him to reveal it so you can get right. Remember what I said earlier? When our ways please God, he makes our enemies be at peace with us. Hey, some bill collectors, I consider them enemies. Yes, sometimes they can be enemies. They treat you harsh. They don't want to work with you sometimes, but the Bible says if your ways please God, he'll make even them, he'll make them, hey, show you favor. Yeah, he'll make them show you favor when your ways please him. So what is our responsibility? Make sure our ways are pleasing the Lord. Make sure that we're in faith because, again, I repeat it, without faith, it's impossible to please God. And we want to please God. Because we get great rewards when we please God, all right? And so verse 30 says, what was the result of this all? What was the result? It says, and their eyes were open. Their eyes were open. And Jesus sternly warned them, saying, see that no one knows it. In other words, I don't know if Jesus believed that they weren't telling it. I think we know that Jesus knew because he knows the heart. He knows people. But the point is, he wasn't trying to bring all of this attention to himself. So that's what he was saying, really. You know, don't go out there and spread all this attention because then, hey, others may come. Yeah, and there would be others to come. And, of course, he would be interacting with others. But, again, not only would the believers come, but the unbelievers. That was the thing. Those that wanted to trip him up. Those that want to stop him from doing what he was able to do. Those that were getting in the way of those who wanted to be healed, who wanted to follow Jesus, There was that other crowd there. They didn't want to follow him, but they wanted to just lay loads on the people. The Bible says this. All they wanted to do was get in the way, okay? They didn't want to follow Jesus, and they kept getting in the way of people that did want to follow Jesus. Huh? Somebody, you stayed with me long enough to get your word today, because that's the way some of you are feeling today. You're feeling, hey, they don't want to go to church, and they don't trust the pastor, and all they do is talk about the pastor. But I want to follow. I want to go to church, and I want to listen to the teaching, and I want to be a member of the church. And they keep trying to discourage me. And yes, there are people like that today. They're unhappy with themselves. They're miserable, but they're not satisfied being miserable all by themselves. What Settler's saying, misery loves company. So yes, even in the church, even in our dire situations, they don't want to press into God. What did I say earlier about watching people and watching how the change comes for those that press in? They stop listening to what people had to say. They stop listening to all the grumbling and the mumbling and the complaining that went on around about them. And they stole away. In other words, they went away in their quiet place. They separated from that negative crowd. And they said, hey, I believe that the Lord is he answers prayer. I believe that he does just what the word of God says to him. I believe the teaching that I've been getting, that God is able, and that what's impossible with man is possible with him. I believe it, and I'm going to stand firm on my belief. I'm not going to let go. I'm just going to keep pressing in. So somebody say, how do I press in? Hey, read it over and over again. Repeat it. Confess it. What is it you're looking from God for from God? What did he promise with that? You say, I don't know. Well, that means you haven't been in the Bible. Get in the Bible. Look it up. What does he promise concerning your situation? Find out the promise. And you just keep rehearsing that, saying it over and over. God, you said. God, I believe. God, you said. And God, I believe you. You said. I know man this and that, but you said you're able. And I'm going to stand here. I'm going to believe it. The woman with the blood, she said within herself. The doctors had done everything they could for her. Yeah, their report was there's no hope, all right? But she was still saying, hey, they might not be able to help me, but I just believe in myself, down in my heart, down in my knower, that Jesus can do what man cannot do. What all of my money has not been able to accomplish for me, I believe God can do it. I believe Jesus will do it for me. Oh, and she got it. All right, she got it. So again, you look at the ruler. Hey, they say she's dead. Here are people already, they're doing their playing this dirt, this death song and mourning and all of that wailing and all of that. But I separated myself. I came out of there. And I came and found Jesus. I came and found Jesus. So I just believed that he would just lay his hands on her. Just hand. He only needed to lay one hand. Notice the scriptures say hand. If you just lay your hand on her. Oh, yeah. You say, Dr. Wilder, you always get so excited. With you're right. I get excited with the revelation that comes from God's word. Knowing that, hey, he's the same today as he was on yesterday. And just as sure as he did these things for others, my faith is going to work in this way. This is how my faith is working. My faith is saying if he did it for others, he'll do it for me. My faith says, what did God's word say about this? Okay, my faith says, well, hey, make sure what comes out of your mouth is in agreement with what God says. Hey, that's what my faith, that's how my faith is working. My faith says, get your eyes off the situation. Get your eyes off of your bank account. Get your eyes off of how much more month you have than you have paid. Oh, my. In other words, I don't know how the bill's going to get paid. But rather than focusing on that and just staring at that, I just keep believing God because he's done it for me before. He made ways when it seemed to be no way. He stretched that which I had. At the end of the month, and I look back on at the beginning of the next month, I look back and I say, oh, my God, everything got taken care of. You said, how? Well, listen, I trusted God. they said, God, you're going to fix it. You're going to make a way. And I just keep obeying him. Look, he said to the blind man. He said, do you believe? He said, do you believe I can do this? I'm able to do this. So I believe God is able to do it. And if you believe he's able to, then action. That's the one thing I want to make sure before I leave today, that faith brings action. Faith means pressing in. Faith means stand. Faith means holding on, all right? Faith means not wavering. Faith means not entering into doubt. So I ask you again, how is your faith working? How is it working today? If you've gotten off track, I just invite you on track. Get in that word. We call it affirmations. And the Bible says confession and profession. Don't fall short and don't fall away from your confession and your profession. No matter how dire the situation looked, how dire. There was one set that were blind. There was one that still had life, but everybody, the doctors had given her up and all her money had run out. And then there was another one that there was true death, okay, according to man's view. But each one of them got the victory. And that's what I'm saying to you. Regardless of what your situation is today, ask yourself, am I operating in faith? How is my faith working? Okay? So I invite you to just go back, get the word of God on the matter. And regardless of how the matter looks, just keep speaking the word of God. Keep letting God know, I trust you, God. I believe you. I know you're my way maker. You're my problem solver. You're my burden bearer. You're my all in all, God. You see me. You see my situation. You're my help. Oh, God. And I am not going to turn away. I'm going to hold on to the end, believing you to come through for me. So that's my word for you today. My word for you. It's my word for me. It's the word that I continue to stand on, especially, oh, my God, when situations get dire or situations are negative that I can't see my way out personally. All right? But I try to practice it all the time so I don't get there. All right? But every so often I do. Situations come upon you so fast, okay? So fast, one upon another, till you begin to like, oh, my God, what? And then quickly, because you've been in the Word, you're hearing Dr. Wilder's voice. You're hearing your pastor. You're hearing all the testimonies. All right? And you come back and you say, oh, that's right. I got to trust the God, the one who owns all the cattle on 1,000 hills, the one who says he'll supply my every need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Oh, my God. Hey, the one who says it's his good pleasure to bless me. It's his good pleasure to bless me. So I get back into that place quickly. I get back there quickly, and I begin to speak what God says. I begin to declare the mighty power of God in my life. And that's what I invite you today to do. That's the reason. How is your faith working? You have a testimony. If you hold on and you just press on in, move on in, find another scripture. Make sure you stay in church. You stay in Bible study. You stay in prayer. You stay in meditation. Stay there. All right? That's the answer. How is your faith working? Are you pressing in? Are you pressing in? Are you falling away? So this has been Dr. Annie B. Wilder once again coming on the Dr. Annie B. Wilder Show. Did I not say that at the top of the hour? I don't know anymore. You know I get so excited. But this has been Dr. Annie B. Wilder coming on the Dr. Annie B. Wilder Show. All right? Then please, come on, let's press in. All right? Ask yourself, how is your faith working? And then contact me at drannibwilder@gmail.com. That's DRANNIE, the letter B, WILDER @gmail.com. And so until the next time, continue to check yourself out. Check it out. Check it out. Check you out. Check your own stuff out. Asking yourself, how is your faith working? Are you pressing in? Are you pressing into the Lord? Are you pressing into your faith? Praise God. So I trust that's what you're doing. And so until the next time, I say blessings, blessings, blessings.